Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
This is Jerry Pippin, and we are at the end of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Springtime, except not here. It's a little cool. Wendell, how are you?
Oh, just fine.
This is Wendell Stevens, our guest, and it's always good to have you on. Wendell, I was trying to count the number of books you wrote the other day. I it seems to me it's up in the 70s.
No, 51.
51. Well, that's still that's an unbelievable amount. Are you writing anything right now?
Putting things together. You know, I don't write books. I don't sit down and write a book. And they're not well written. They don't have an introduction, a build-up to a climax, and a close. They're narrative reports like I used to write military reports, where you have to put everything in the report. You don't hold anything back.
And of course, you had quite a military career, and we talked about that, and you didn't see a UFO until you got out.
Yes, right, yeah.
And you spent a little time at Wright Field, which is Wright-Patterson now.
Yes,
huh?
Early on I was there in the flight test division.
Yeah. Well, now, what did you talk about this time here at the conference?
I talked about an event that happened way back in the 50s, late 50s, when I was assigned to George Air Force Base at Victorville, California. And I went there for a new assignment as commander of the repair squadron in a fighter wing. And in my first meeting with my staff people in the new squadron, a warrant officer that was in charge of the electronics shop came up to me that evening, said, I hear you're you're interested in UFOs. I said, oh, yes, I am. He said, well, I have a little gathering, a group that gathers at my home on Friday nights occasionally. And if you'd like to come by, we're going to be meeting this Friday weekend, Friday evening. You're welcome. I said, oh, I'd love to. And I went by, and I found that their channel was Richard Miller. And I had never heard of Richard Miller. I didn't know anything about him at all. He was a young man that had an experience early in his teens. Mm-hmm. And He was working in electronics up in the Detroit area, and he hunted for discussion groups because he was trying to get more information on his own sighting earlier. And he had been invited to an elderly home where a group of people had pooled resources, bought a ticket for George Hunt Williamson to come in from Prescott, Arizona, and demonstrate his channeling of the Space Brothers. And Richard was there that night. He worked all day, and he was tired, and he leaned against the piano leg. Well, there wasn't enough chairs for everybody, so he left the chairs for the older people and just sat down leaning against the piano leg. And as the conversation went on, they were drinking coffee and talking. He got a little more tired, and he leaned back under the piano, and then he laid down on his back. When they got through, the older folks got through talking and over their donuts, and George Hunt Williamson lay down on the sofa to do his thing. He took his three deep breaths, and his body jerked, and the Space Brothers came through. At the same time, Richard Miller, laying on the floor under the piano, jerked, and the same voice came through him. And now we had a transmission in stereo coming through two different mouths, the same voice, the same communication, same words and everything.
So they're channeling.
They were channeling, simultaneously channeling the same entity.
Okay.
Which was a remarkable thing. It astounded me. So after that, the elderly folks tried to get Richard to do it again, and he couldn't do it for a number of tries. And then finally he got a breakthrough, and he did do it again. And he told the Space Brothers that he didn't remember anything about the earlier one when he channeled. He was completely out. And after it was over and there was a commotion around, he woke him up. He said, when is he going to start? They said, he's already started and he's over with and you were in it. Well, so now he's trying to put himself in the same frame of mind he was in then. Mm-hmm. He finally succeeded, made a deal with the Solar Cross Brothers. If they would let him, he would continue channeling if they would let him set aside and remember everything that transpired. So they did. He said that it was kind of like they would move in, set him aside in his head and take over the motor forces and do the channeling. And he could watch and see everything that they were doing.
So here he was having kind of an out-of-body experience watching it.
But in-body, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So then after that, they did this, and he could see what was happening and hear the conversation himself as it was transpiring. When they were through, they would move back out and let him put him back in charge again. And he did that for a long time. He became a better channel for the space, for the Solar Cross brothers than George Hunt Williamson. And that's when I first heard him that night in that officer's house in my squadron. And that was, it was mind-blowing at the time because I had never seen anything that clear, loud, and
you know, that's a long time back, and I just think of channeling in the last couple of decades, but I guess it's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah, it's been around forever, I guess.
evidently.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about what was said in this thing that you...
Well,
you
among other things, the Solar Cross brothers, and one evening they told us, advised us to collect a number of Light Classics records on the old 33 RPM discs, platters, and they gave us about 15 titles, including Rites of Spring, Thus Spake Zarathustra, Tales from the Vienna Woods, Scheherazade, 1812 Overture. All those are Light Classics with no words. And so we collected, we finally got close to a dozen of them, and they were on a table one night for in another session when the Solar Cross speaker at the time observed that we may have enough, they would see what they could do, and then they gave us a list of about 100 or more clips to take from these records in a very specific order. And we didn't know anything about music.
You're talking about the selections themselves.
Yeah, out of the stack of records
right.
on the table. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know anything about music, didn't know how to take the clips out, but one of the sitters knew a sound shop in Hollywood that might be interested in. And so they took them down, the clips down there, the records and the list of clips.
Right.
Sound shop took them out nice and clean and put them together, and they brought it back up on a wire recorder. And we thought the Space Brothers were simply giving us a new medley of our old classics. And we were going to listen to it at the end of that session and hear the new medley. When, before the session ended, one of the speakers said, we have a surprise for you this evening. Our brother Monka will speak, and he will call for your music when he's ready. And then Monka's voice came on, and he said, you may now start the music. And we started it, and he gave us a clean narrative for 47 minutes, perfectly coordinated to the music, perfectly timed, and with no speech defects whatever. Toastmasters rate a member of the club if they can do it for 5 minutes. They rate them and give them a standing. This was for 47 minutes. Now, during this time, Richard Miller was sitting there in a straight-back chair at a table with his hands flat on the table in front of him, looking straight forward in a kind of a semi-trance. His eyes were about half closed. And he did this presentation in a lot of very specific language with no prompts at all, no cards, no notes, no nothing. And he didn't even turn his head, and he didn't look around. He was straight ahead, and he delivered it with no paused words like I'm doing, no mispronunciations, everything perfectly delivered for 47 minutes. That's something a human being cannot do. And this was done by an alien entity through a stranger using his vocal cords and giving a speech delivery with a lot of very complicated information in it.
Perfectly. What sort of information do you remember?
It was in that particular, the first one, they were describing a solar tour. They said, we would like to tell you what you would see if you were aboard one of our ships taking a tour of your solar system. And they started from the sun and went out through all the planets, described the life existing on each one, and all but two actually had life on them. They said that there's life throughout our solar system, different forms, it's adapted to its own conditions, but still life there. And one of the interesting things, they said that the true origin of Earth life was Jupiter.
Oh, really?
And we see, our astronomers see Jupiter as a gaseous body with a very, so big that the acceleration of gravity to the surface is unbelievable.
Yeah, we weigh 2,000 pounds or more instead of 100.
But the life form there, the Space Brothers told us there is a solid surface under that gas level.
Okay.
And the solid surface does have a population, and they're happy there. They have a society and living there, and the life form from Jupiter was transported to Earth when Earth was ready for intelligent life. and it has evolved here since. But that they kept insisting that's our true origin of life on Earth.
Do you remember which two planets didn't have life?
Yeah, Pluto was one that had no native life, and I think it was Uranus has no native life, but it has a very prolific animal life and vegetation. Beings from other planets in the solar system go there for vacations. Those advanced beings that are able to make that trip and go there for vacations and enjoy the lakes and the rivers and the streams and the wildlife on that planet.
So when we talk about the life, I just saw an article this week, Life of Mars again, and laying out some artifacts and things. That doesn't surprise you.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Our communicator, the main communicator, the one that did this transmission, the solar tour, was Manka, who claims he comes from Mars, that Mars is inhabited, that the inhabitants live below the surface in manufactured cities, that they manufacture their own air and water, that they have an industrial society that is mechanized, that builds spaceships for some of the other planets. They say that Venus has no technical society, that the Martians build the spacecraft for the Venusians. And I found that interesting because that had come out in other contacts involving Venusians.
Well, what do you make of the thing we're told about Venus being so hot nobody could be there?
Well, that's what we see with our physical eyes.
Uh-huh.
And that's the physical chemical level of Venus. If we went there, that's what we would see, and that's what we see with our instruments too. But if we went there as a Venusian, we would find that the life wave lives at a different level. They don't live at the level we see with our physical eyes. They live at a level above that.
And so are you talking about other dimensions?
Or a higher dimensional
level.
And they, at their dimensional level where they live, they have trees and rivers and lakes and streams and flowers and plants, clouds in the sky and everything else like we have here.
I guess what you're saying is it's another reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not so far out from ours that they, Venusians, can't slow their vibrations down and interact with us physically and then speed them up again to their natural rate. They can do this mentally for a short time, like up to a half hour. But usually when we see them, they wear a little device on their belt that generates a field around them that slows their vibrations down. So they look physical when they're interacting with us. In the dark at night, they have a glow, but that's the field around them that's keeping them slowed down into the physical realm.
So when we talk about, and you and I talked about the numbers of species many times, and they seem to be quite a few.
Infinite.
We're really talking about other worlds, other dimensions, other realities, too.
Other realities. Okay. It's like your radio has a lot of radio stations on it. Our solar system has a lot of different vibrational frequencies of being in this solar system and in other solar systems. You know, at my age of 84 now, I've come to the conclusion that space is the true habitat of humanity, that planets are nothing more than nests, incubation nests, where humanity is transported. They begin gathering their experience in their new vibrational nature, and they evolve a technology and produce spacecraft and eventually leave the planet never to return, like birds leaving the nest.
It's an interesting concept, and you've studied this subject for a long time, so I'm
60 years.
I'm not going to debate you over that at all. We're talking with Wendell Stevens, and what you have some DVDs out now or CDs or something?
I had some CDs that were channeled transmissions. Actually, the solar tour was only the first one, and then we got 10 more, so we had 11 such transmissions perfectly coordinated to music. Besides the solar tour, which I presented here, there's a galactic tour. There's another one that describes the destruction of Maldek, the missing planet.
So when we listen to this CD, we hear the clips of the music and someone talking.
Perfectly coordinated to the music, yes.
And who recorded those, Richard? We
recorded them as a group sitting around Richard Miller, and I bought an expensive cassette recorder and made copies more myself at the time. And I was going through my stuff a couple of months ago, and I thought, discovered them again. And I thought, oh, those might be interesting to other people now. So I made copies on CDs, which wasn't too hard to do, and now they're available again on CD.
Fantastic. They can contact you and order these things,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, and we'll give that address and everything when we come back. This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the end of the Ozarks. And Wendell Stevens, one of my favorite people. In fact, he's the first guy I ever heard on an interview. I don't remember whose interview it was. I said, I need to talk to this guy. This is a long time ago.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thank you.